Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Denver, final city on this three-city, 10-day, 9-game road trip. Padres swept the Pirates, lost 2 of 3 to the Yankees. Very close games. I think pretty good games. Now come to play the horrible, horrible Rockies. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with the Yankee series. They lose 2 of 3. Game 3, they get walked off on in extra innings, which doesn't something that doesn't feel like happens to this team very often, first time this year. But I came out of it thinking that they may have actually won. And here's why. Dylan Cease comes off the mound looking at his forearm after carrying a no-hitter into the seventh inning.
He had a no-hitter into the seventh.
Into the seventh
inning. Sixth and third.
Looking at his forearm and you know, as somebody who I think who grew up here and is constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to San Diego Padres baseball, I was surprised when they said afterwards that they thought it was just a cramp. And when Cease said afterwards that he passed all the tests with flying colors. Now, we don't know anything beyond that at the moment, but it sure seems to me like they dodged a bullet there on Wednesday.
It does. It does. So if you're going from that, yes. And that the fact that he took the no-hitter and then he's okay, I'm with you. That could be seen as a win. And at this point, no matter who you're playing, and there's no denying the Padres gave some away there in New York, but no matter who you're playing, if you can come out of it with one of the pitchers that you are counting on for you to make a deep run who has not been pitching well, and he pitched well when he said he was going to pitch well, that he was trending in the right spot, yeah, Ryan, I'll go with that, that was a win, so to speak.
Right, and it's not the no-hit innings. You know, so much of that can be luck-based. So much of that can be fluke. It's that this was the Dylan Cease that we saw so often last season. Yep. And really, he hadn't had that kind of stuff this year so far. You know, even after all of that, right, his ERA is still at 5. You know, a little under 5, a tick under 5. He really needed to find that groove at some point here. And certainly what we saw, I think, was his best outing of the year.
Yeah, and the outing before, the slider was really good. No fastball command. Not good fastball command. And so when you're then behind and you're not going to get players to swing at that slider, then, right? Like, okay, you might get them to swing at a 1-0 slider. Well, then it's 1-1, but you can't throw any more, you know, fastballs to get these guys to then swing at the 2-2 slider. And that's what's been happening to Dylan Cease, even when the slider's been working and the slider hasn't been great. But he put it together, and it's like Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, said afterwards, when you see that, the slider, the fastball, that's when you see Dylan Cease reel off those kinds of games. That's the kind of games the league knows they can be in for when Dylan Cease is on. So, absolutely.
Absolutely. And as we record this, I feel like I should say it's 12 o'clock Pacific. You could walk into the Padres clubhouse today and learn something completely different from what they said the other day. But it sure appears as of now, at least, that Dylan Cease, that his injury was nothing more than a cramp. And if that's the case, yes, the Padres have dodged a bullet there.
Absolutely. That's the, there's no other way to look at it. I guess there could be some solace to say, well, Yu Darvish is close. But, I mean, no. That's silly, Kevin. You need every pitcher you can get. The team was sort of, like, I don't want to say built around, but, like, the pitching's a strength, and it was supposed to be a strength, right? And so, Dylan Cease, he almost has to be that guy. I mean, Nick Pivetta's been that guy, and you didn't know that you were going to get that from Nick Pivetta. But is it 7 starts in? Like, wasn't a great start against the Yankees, wasn't a great start against the Pirates. Pitchers don't continue with, 1.5 ERAs. So I'm not like saying Nick Pivetta is not pitching well, but now he's coming up pitching on Sunday. Like, we're going to see what Nick Pivetta is. Okay. So absolutely. You need Dylan Cease. I mean, as long as everything's okay, that was big.
Yeah, absolutely. And big that he seems to be, again, trending in the right direction, being that guy who he was last year. Yeah. I mean, the ace of the staff alongside Michael King. Somebody who is back in sort of in midseason form is Jackson Merrill, rejoined the club. I think the last time we talked, we said that he'd probably be back that day. And as it turns out, they waited a day, right? They brought him back Tuesday. Seems to be hitting the ball well, hit a home run, played well at Yankee Stadium, doing the things that, Jackson Merrill has shown he can do here in the last year or so with the Padres. What are your observations just in watching him for a couple of games now that he's back?
Well, he was only 4-for-8 with a double, a drive that was an out to the biggest part of Yankee Stadium, and a 417-foot home run. I mean, you know, making it look easy. I'm glad he made a couple outs, right? Not to make everybody else feel bad that you can just come off the IL after 24 games, a full month, and do that. Yeah, the guy is a winner, man, and he's a player, and he's intense, and he is everything that we have said that he was, and he's shown over a year plus. And big, right? Like they're getting back to full strength. Jake Cronenworth, we knew he was coming back, but officially reinstated. Oscar Gonzalez, as expected, has been optioned. They're back. The core six is back, and you know what? They're 8-2 with the core six. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, it narrows the holes on their team down to a couple of different spots, right?
Really,
and they were
really
trying to juggle a situation in left field and a situation in center field and playing Jose Iglesias every day at second base. And that, you know, all of a sudden you've got Luis Arraez playing first base all the time because he has to.
You got Xander Bogaerts hitting fourth and fifth instead of sixth. Right. I mean, there's just so much. Now, he may still be fifth, certain guys, right? Like, as they try to do left-right, you know, mostly in the – but like, yes, all those things and where can guys hit and, yes, I mean, to have everybody in there. And then, like, Jake Cronenworth was hitting, like, .256, something like that, but a .409 on-base percentage and an .830-something slug because he had two home runs and two doubles in 12 games. So, like, Jake Cronenworth was at optimum Jake Cronenworth. He's been a streaky guy, but – you know, if he comes back and he's like that player and Jackson Merrill is this and Manny seems to be heating up, not with the homers yet, but he's here at Coors Field. So that's good for him. And yes, like they're back to full strength.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that gives them a little bit more of a margin for error too, right? Their path to victory when they were starting Oscar Gonzalez and he played great. Tyler Wade, none of this is Tyler Wade's fault necessarily. But when you're starting non-regulars, all of a sudden your path to victory becomes really narrow, right? You need solid pitching performances. You're not going to win a lot of 10 to 8 games. You need your pitching there. You can't make errors on the bases, et cetera, et cetera. Now that you have these guys back, I think that sort of everybody can take a little bit of a deep breath, right? I mean, this is sort of the varsity team is back.
There you go. It's all everything you said, all very true. And like why you can't judge a team's numbers after 36 games or whatever it is anyway, like certainly this one, like their slug numbers being down, their home runs being down, you know, their runs scored being down, all those go together, by the way. You know, they were without Jackson Merrill for 24 games. They were been without Cronenworth now for 24 games. So that affects then, and I'm not going to make excuses for them because they're big-time players making big-time money, but that affects the pitches and the pressure that is on Machado, Tatis. So, yes, this should have, it's why they play the games, should have ripple effects.
Yep, exactly. You're getting one All-Star back and another former All-Star coming back likely today. You mentioned that they're slugging, their homers are down, et cetera, et cetera. True. They're at a pretty good place right now to get right because this is Coors Field, right? Baseball on the moon. Yeah. Except if you're the San Diego Padres, they tend to score a lot there. Winning's tough. Jeff Sanders had a really good story today about the struggles that the Padres have had at Coors Field over the years. And, you know, even since they've gotten good, and I will find this stat for you, Kevin, if you will grant me 30 seconds. Their winning percentage at Coors Field since they, quote unquote, you know, got good isn't right? A competitive Padres team has really struggled there.
It's comparable, I think, all time to their record at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, exactly. So here's
the 30 years. Now, since they've gotten good, they have a losing record still since 2020 at Coors Field, not nearly as bad as they are at Dodger Stadium. They have winning records at Chase Field and Oracle Park, the other two NL West teams, you know, venues. So, yeah, like, and we definitely need to get into how bad the Rockies are. But I think anytime you come to Coors Field, you have to acknowledge these are a couple of the toughest series the Padres play every year. You don't get a break. It's not as big a break. And, oh, well, boo-hoo. But, like, it's not as big a break as the Tigers get when they go to Chicago to play the White Sox. Right. You are going to play the White Sox, but at a place with just weird stuff.
Yes, yes. The Padres, since the Padres got good in 2020, they've won 39% of their games at Coors Field. Okay. In their history, they've won 42.9% of their games at Coors Field. At Dodger Stadium, they've won 42.1% of their games. Philadelphia, they won 42.2% of their games.
Yes, winning that's from Jeff's story. I want to go, like, and Jeff's story was fantastic. Really good stuff about, like, the starting of the Rockies and how things. But going more recent, they're 5-6-1 in their series at Coors Field since 2020.
Right.
That's awful because the Rockies have been awful.
Yes.
Like, that's not okay. Like, I can make all the excuses in the world about this stupid place to play baseball. And by the way, a beautiful ballpark, but a stupid place to play baseball. I can make all the excuses in the world, but to go 16-23 overall and 5-6-1 in series here since 2020 is not okay.
Right. For the Padres, and again, we should, because there's a lot of numbers we're throwing at people here. It's as simple as this. It's been just as hard for the Padres to win at Coors Field in the last 5 years as it's been for them to win at Dodger Stadium in the last 5 years.
No. All time, it's been just
all time. All time.
Freaking horrible at Dodger Stadium. Let's just get it out. Like, they are horrible at Dodger Stadium. But but your point, I don't want to dispute your point. Over the last 5 years, the only two places in the National League West they've had a losing record is at Dodger Stadium and Coors Field, and that should not be the case. So your point is 100% spot on.
The Rockies are not the Dodgers, is what we're trying to say. That is about the nicest way of phrasing what the Colorado Rockies are doing this year. They're on pace to be the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball.
After we had the worst team last year in the White Sox.
Yes, and they're going to blow right past it if they keep that up.
I want to say this, Ryan, as I looked this up, last year at this time, 37 games in, they had the same record as the White Sox.
Wow.
And they ended up losing, I think, 14 fewer games. So anything can happen, but you are absolutely correct. They are the worst team tied for the worst record after 35 games. I think, what are they now? Is it, no, 37 games, 6-31. The only other team ever start 6-31 was the 1988 Orioles.
Wow. Wow.
They were 3-12. You remember how they came to Petco Park? Padres shut them out. First time the Padres have ever shut out a team over a three-game series. First time the Rockies ever been shut out over a three-game series. First time in Major League Baseball since 2017. They were 3-12. They're 3-19 since the last time the Padres saw them.
It's astounding. They're already 18.5 games back in the National League West standings. They've lost 6 in a row. Their winning percentage starts with the number 1. let's put it this way. We've been playing about 6 weeks, haven't we? They have 6 wins. They win one game a week. If you're spending money to go to a Rockies game, you have like a 1 in 5 chance of seeing them actually win a game. That's amazing. And I'm going to ask an uncomfortable question here. By the way, the 4 of their 6 wins have come at home. So there's your caveat.
There you go. There you go.
Bud Black, former Padre manager, San Diego resident, one of the good guys in baseball. At what point do they go, this ain't working?
Well, I want to compare it to his time with the Padres, because this is worse, right? Like, he wasn't, in the end, given teams capable, really, of winning, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe 15, but that wasn't a very good team and was sort of dysfunctional. I was a columnist. And I wrote that Bud should be let go, but it was, and I'm bummed that I did, only in that I like Bud a lot and didn't really need to be written. But I stand by the premise, which was, this is not Bud Black's fault, but is 8 years enough, right? Like, come on. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that need to change here. And I say all that to say, that's kind of this here, right? Like, why would you fire Bud Black? But why would you keep Bud Black? But, like, you know, why would you keep your general manager after all these years? Like, they're like the White Sox. A little bit the Pirates. They do things, and I have to give this caveat because I feel like I need to, that I don't obviously follow any of those teams as well as I do the Padres, right? It's all anecdotal, hearing from people around the league or reading. But they do things that are weird. Like, are you trying to win? Like, what are you doing exactly? What's your plan exactly? You signed Chris Bryant. What is that? And then you get a good pitcher, and the poor guy has to pitch at Coors Field half the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How about this? You tell Nolan Arenado there's no money for him. Then you turn around and you give Chris Bryant the money that you could have just given Nolan Arenado.
It's just weird.
It's now, really weird.
Thank goodness for Nolan Arenado. Just like, hey, thank goodness. Best thing that ever happened to Bud Black was not getting the Padres job at that time. Good for Nolan Arenado. Like, it's that bad. Like, they say there are no bad days in the big leagues. And I do believe that's true, but this must test it. I think about Bud Black all the time because he is one of the good guys. He may or may not be a good manager. How the heck would anybody know based on the teams he's had?
Yeah. Bruce Bochy, again, a Hall of Famer slam dunk manager. Couldn't win with bad teams either, right? Bruce Bochy won when you gave him the talent to win. Bud Black, how do we know? How do we know? How do we know when they're running out this lineup every day? Why would they fire Bud Black? You just asked me 3 minutes ago.
Yep.
They would fire Bud Black because 3 weeks ago, they hired a new hitting coach. And you know his name?
Yes. He's a former manager.
Clint Hurdle.
Yep.
First of all, what a story. Bringing back a beloved former manager as, like, you know, a coach. B, you're not telling me that there aren't people in Denver right now, maybe in their front office going, you know, it's a PR win if we just let Clint Hurdle manage. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the first thing I think that Clint Hurdle said in his press conference when he was hired was to, you know, say, hey, I'm just here to be the hitting coach. So, like, clearly it's been on people's minds, right?
Yes. Yes. You wouldn't do it. I mean, again, you wouldn't bring somebody back. I don't know. It's strange. I'm looking at their lineup here, Kevin, and why are the Rockies so bad? Can I just run a list of players at you? Just, and you can tell me something or you can be silent. They're infielders. Kyle Farmer, Adiel Amador, Ryan McMahon, good ball player. Owen Miller, former Padre, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, former Padre. Michael Tolia, Alan Trey.
Yep.
Okay. Keep in mind, somebody has to be an all-star on this team. Their outfield, Jordan Beck, Sean Bouchard, Cathedral Catholic Don, Brenton Doyle, good player. Nick Martini, former Padre. Mickey Moniak, La Costa Canyon High.
Hey, why is those? And I'm going to just throw out there and probably look egg on my face, but is Ezekiel Tovar, is he on the IL? Where is he?
Yeah, he's not on their active roster as of now.
Oh, he must be on the IL. Wow, that's a blow, too. I mean, yeah. Really, it is. Wow.
I mean, maybe he's the guy. This is just not a team that can compete.
There's no why am I blanking? Second baseman. We just saw him. Maybe we just saw him in Houston, I believe. And also Blackman is gone. You know who was a killer? Was Grichik.
Randall Grichik. Yep.
Randall Grichik was a killer. There were these guys, right, that were like your classic NL West or, you know, your division guys, right? Like every Yankee fan knows a Ray that always kills the Rays, right? Even every Tigers fan or Royals fan or whoever knows a White Sox player always killed them or whatever. Well, maybe not a White Sox player. But, you know, the Padres are always the Christian Walker. Good player, but, like, against the Padres, great, right? Like there's always those guys. And I don't know who you just named that is that guy right now against the Padres. No, they're 29th in OPS. Obviously, all of their offensive numbers are better at home, but not as better as usual.
Right. They're not doing what you would think. Pitching matchups here the next three nights. Tonight, you've got Randy Vasquez, who, again, just needs to throw more strikes. A 3.9 ERA is fine. They would happily take 4 earned runs from him tonight, I'm sure. But he's really struggled against the Rockies, an ERA of almost 8 in his career. A guy who just needs to throw more strikes or else it's going to be a long night at the ballpark, I think. And he goes up against Antonio Sensatella, who I seem to remember pitching well against the Padres a handful of times. Somebody who this year is not good, 1-5 with a 5.5 ERA. Has had just one quality start this year. Has a 3.26 ERA against the Padres. In 88 and a third innings, I mean, that's a lot of baseball. against the Padres, and he's done pretty well against them.
Is this their guy if you go on ERA, right? Doesn't he, of the three starters, is 5.50 ERA?
Yeah, because the next guy has an ERA of 8.
Bradley Blaylock. Who's that kid? The Blaylock is making like his ninth career start or something.
Right. And then let's talk about Herman Marquez for a minute. He's starting Sunday against Nick Pivetta. We'll get back to the Padres starters here. His record this year, he's 0-6. His ERA is 9.9. They're running out a guy with an ERA of nearly 10 for Sunday. I hope that you don't have a quick turnaround for a flight home on Sunday, Kevin.
I always try to go into Sundays here with a good headspace because, because it's always a challenge. It's always a question whether you're going to make that flight.
Right, right. Stephen Kolar.
Because the airport, by the way, is about 2 states over. And so you're at Coors Field. The game might go 4 hours, even with the pitch clock. And you got to, take a flight to get to the airport, basically.
Yeah, right. You drive to Kansas, and then there's the airport. Yeah. Stephen Kolar pitching Saturday for them. This will be his second major league start. Looked pretty good against Pittsburgh. Struck out 4 and 5 in the third shutout innings. What's working for him, and is he a long-term solution at this point, do we think?
He very well could be if he pitches like that. The throwing strikes, okay? The sinker, getting a lot of ground balls, always allows him to maybe get out of an inning. He did at least once and could have twice. A slow kind of slow developing play was not a double play. Just a tad bit more efficient. And the guy goes, 6 innings. And 6 shutout. The sinker, I think a sinker plays okay generally here in of all the pitches. Right. You're not looking for break, you're not looking for induced break, you're looking for a sinker. I think that he does. He sets up well. Look, Pivetta's had some terrible, who starts on Sunday, has some terrible starts at Coors Field. I think he's only started here 3 times, but has like a 19 ERA. Last year for the Red Sox, like 8 runs or something like that in 3 innings or something.
7 2/2 a year ago.
Yeah. Yes. And like you already mentioned, Vasquez. And so Kolar, I think, sets up well here. He's a mellow guy who knows what his job is. I think when you say long-term solution, I think you're talking, fourth, fifth starter. And yes, he looks really good. And
to me, he looks so different from the reliever we saw really struggle last year, right? I mean, this was a guy, when they went out and got Jason Adam last year, the corresponding move was essentially put Kolar on the IL, right? This was a guy who I really thought had struggled. I wasn't sure he was a very good reliever. He's turned in, small sample size, 1 game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? But
pitched
this
well
is a
in
guy
spring training. Pitched well for, despite the ERA, never look at that or, don't look at that at AAA. Pitched well in AAA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and somebody who I think has a good arsenal and knows who he is. If I can get big picture a little bit, I think he knows what he has to do to be successful in the big leagues.
That's a good one. Yep.
Right. Contrast that to, say, Randy Vasquez, who we've been talking for 2 years about if he would just throw more strikes, it could be pretty good.
I think that people look at Randy Vasquez. That's a pitcher. You look at his stuff. You look at the spin and you go, wow, you know what? And again, I'll just say this to let people know. I want to always reiterate. Pitchers like Randy Vasquez are somewhat of a dime a dozen. You've got to be talented to get to the big leagues. A lot of guys as talented as Randy Vasquez, because of their inability to throw strikes, whatever's happening there, are fourth or fifth starters. But he is that guy. He's super talented. But whatever. Stephen Kolar, yes. You look at him and you go, eh? But he knows who he's supposed to be, and he has that out pitch. That pitch that if his stuff if his pitches – and now he's expanding out to 5 pitches. And if that changeup is as good as it was against the Pirates, if he can be in and around the zone with those and use the sinker to get out of trouble, he's a good pitcher. I don't know that he's going to be anything more than a 4 or 5. I'm not a talent evaluator. I just ask a lot of questions, and I do watch a lot of baseball. So I couldn't agree with you more, if you want to contrast those two guys. But that's fourth and fifth starters come in all shapes and sizes.
They sure do. They sent down Ryan Burger the other day, the corresponding move when they called up a pitcher. Was it?
When they called it Sean Reynolds.
Sean Reynolds. That's right. You look at some of the metrics on Ryan Burger's stuff. This is a guy who, you want to talk about an out pitch, somebody who is kind of intriguing. Is this a guy who may start some games down the road? Do we think?
Yeah, absolutely. They really liked what he did for them. They needed a guy to cover some innings. But he's going back down to be a starter and certainly could be in the rotation next year. Could make starts this year, but you know, you're not keeping Cease and King. You might keep neither of them. You know, you're going to be Darvish might not pitch next year. You don't know what Darvish's plans are. And so, yeah, Brian Burgard is one of the guys. Him, Omar Cruz. I think Omar Cruz might be starting. They have a few, but they don't have anybody that's going to blow you away. But Ryan Burgert had some nice outings in spring and certainly did not seem overwhelmed when he came up here and pitched, three times out of the bullpen.
Yep, got his first career win in one of those late-game comebacks.
That was impressive. They brought him in. They were trying to stay in the game against – the Yankees. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he pitched and then they scored and he gets the win. But I thought pitching in Yankee Stadium in a game, they were down 3-0. It's a natural spot for him given the shape of the bullpen at the time. And that was a little bit the problem in Yankee Stadium is Jason Adam, Estrada, they pitched a lot. So you had to pitch some other guys. Now Adam, of course, didn't have a good game the last game. But I thought that was impressive what he did there against the Yankees.
Yep. To answer your question about Ezekiel Tovar, by the way, he has a hip injury. Okay. There's no timetable for his return. Chris Bryant has a back problem, and has had it for years. There's no timetable for his return. Thyro Estrada, remember him from the Giants?
Yes, I do.
He has a wrist injury. Tyler Freeman has an oblique injury. Austin Gomber has a shoulder. So this is a bad team to begin with. And they are now decimated by injuries. Kevin, I always put you on the spot at the end of our thing here. Of all the things that drive you crazy about Coors Field, and I'm a little surprised you're on this trip because sometimes another guy goes. And you
well, in September, in September, the one where they come just for the 3 days. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Of all the things that drive you crazy about Coors Field, what's the worst? Is it just the baseball that is played there? What is it?
Yes, it's the baseball that's played for sure. I mean, you can't when you're a beat writer and you're gonna weigh a city. I talked with Matt Thomas. I was talking the other day with Matt Thomas, the Padres photographer, about we always talk. We rank the ballparks, right? Like the between the writers or whatever, just part of a comp or even players or front office people, and you're just sitting around. You got a lot of time, and you're ranking it on your own criteria, right? Like working facilities. Different than what fans are ranking it on. Now we have some of the same things, the aesthetics of the place, and those are great at Coors Field. But the whole thing of games that take longer, generally it has been sort of bad baseball, weird baseball, not fair baseball to anyone. And then you can't take out the whole airport situation. You just can't. Right. And that's not anybody else's problem but mine. So I just want to make clear that I'm recognizing that. But and I would recommend coming to Coors Field. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I just happen to, if I can skip it, look, I'm the only guy who goes to Cincinnati. Most people skip Cincinnati. Colorado or Denver is my Cincinnati.
There we go. If you've ever been to a college baseball game on a Sunday afternoon, that's what baseball's like at Coors Field. It's 13-11. Pitching changes left and right, and somebody's got a plane to catch to go home. Like, that's always the way it goes. Wow. Amazing. Well, Kevin, it feels like you've been gone for a very long time. Looking forward to having you home.
It's been a long one. It somehow feels longer. You know why? Rain delays. So thankfully, though, Denver is one of those places you don't look at the radar until like 5 minutes before, the storm comes, right? It's unbelievable how quick the weather changes here. It's the one place everyone outside of California thinks, oh yeah, we've got that saying. If you don't like the weather, just wait 15 minutes. It is true in Denver. But fortunately they're talking very confidently about the forecast here because it has been horrible this trip.
Wow. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. On that inspiring note, Kevin, we'll talk again Monday. They're playing the Angels for 3 and then the Mariners for 3.
So do you believe we're only a week away from the Vetter Cup? Oh, my gosh.
Do you have your flannel ready to go? I should wear flannel, some jeans. That'd be good. That'd be good. Maybe a little eyeliner, kind of emo, you know, from the Ryder Cup. I think that'd be good. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.